I would invite you to take your Bibles to Psalm 139 for a few moments in our devotional before we go to prayer. We're going to look at David's sixfold prayer of surrender as we would consider great prayers of the Bible. I've often said that God is not a butcher. He is a surgeon who works delicately in the lives of His children. He uses the scalpel of the Word of God, which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner between the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we're going to be looking at some exploratory surgery. And let's ask ourselves as we go to prayer tonight, for this brief time we have together, am I willing to allow the Lord to do exploratory surgery in my life? Sometimes exploratory surgery is necessary. We may not be aware of the nature of an illness that is facing us. Sometimes even with the complexities and the technology of MRIs and sonograms and all types of non-invasive testing, it's still necessary to go in and do examinations and biopsies, and they all have their place. Such is the verse that we find before us. David is doing a rather amazing thing. After he has reflected upon the attributes of God, which we'll be looking at in a few moments, he makes the following stupendous request. He says in verse 23, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Here we have a sixfold request, which, to be brutally honest, ought to be our heart's motive every time we open up the Word of God. We need to ask these six questions. First of all, are we willing to allow the Lord to search? Search our hearts. The word search means to explore. It's the word shakar, which means almost like an exploratory surgery. Lord, explore, and I'm going to give you full rein to look everywhere in my heart. The heart was synonymous with the mind in the Hebrew Scriptures. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Are we allowing the Lord to open up our hearts, our minds, and say, "Lord, examine my heart and life. Search me." Then he says, number two, "Know my heart." Doesn't God know everything? The word "know" here, yada, has a concept of an intimate relationship. Know my heart. Speaks of a communication. Speaks of an intimacy that we need to seek to have with the Lord. Lord, know my heart. A boyfriend and a girlfriend have as their supreme desire to know one another's heart. A husband and a wife ought to be involved in a growing relationship in which they are always becoming a greater reality of a one flesh relationship. They know each other. Sometimes Melody and I are able to look at each other, know what we're thinking. Sometimes we know what one another is going to say. We know each other so well in 32 years of marriage. Know my heart. Are we willing to allow that intimate relationship with the Lord? Then he says, try me. Try me. That has the idea of proving, examining. Then he says, know my thoughts, the thoughts of our minds. Then he says, see me. See if there be any wicked way in me. A lot of times, parents, husbands, wives, loved ones can see blind spots in our lives. And oh, we become so defensive when they're brought up. What are you going to do today? Why do you want to know? Where are you going to go today? What do you know? Defensive. But you know, in this relationship, see if there be any wicked way in me. Communicate with me, Lord. Allow the searchlight of your word to reveal any wicked way in me. And the idea is, Lord, when you search me, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see me, Lord, whatever you reveal to me, I am willing to surrender to you. That's the only way we can truly get a blessing and leadership from the Spirit of God as we read the Word of God. Too many times we read the Bible and we look for scriptures that can selectively bless us, but they don't deal with the sin that we may be harboring in our lives. That's not the way to approach God's Word. Lord, speak to my heart. And then he says, lead me in the way everlasting, in the pathway of everlasting things, everlasting life. Now, this is a remarkable prayer when you consider the things that David has just said about God. For instance, in verses 1 through 6, he speaks about God's omniscience, that God knows everything. This is a comfort to us, isn't it? Look in verses 1 through 6. It says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know my downsittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all of my ways. And yet to that God, he says, because of all of what I know about you, Lord, I'm still willing to open up my heart to you. I'm still willing to ask you to search me, know me, try me, know my thoughts, see me for what I really am, and lead me in the way of everlasting things. Verse 4, there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. A lot of times we may have a tendency to bite our tongue, but what are we thinking? I always say to young children, when your parents give you a command or a task to do, don't ever talk back. There's two words that need to characterize the response of children to their parents. Prompt and cheerful obedience. Those two things. Prompt and cheerful obedience. The Lord, who knows our thoughts and our words afar off, knows that we might be sitting on the outside, but standing up in defiance and rebellion on the inside. And stubbornness and rebellion is certainly as the sin of witchcraft. But you know, God's omniscience is a great comfort for those that are seeking to walk in His path. We have His omnipresence in verses 7 through 12. Where shall I go from Thy Spirit? Where shall I flee from Thy presence? You know, that's a comfort when you're seeking to walk in God's paths. Wasn't God's omnipresence a comfort to Joseph when he was in the pit? Even in the palace or in prison? The knowledge that, hey, it matters not where I am, the Lord is with me. Sam's going to be taking a trip to the Ukraine. God is with him just as much as he is here in the close protection and relationship of his parents. The Lord will take care of him. Going off to college? Going off into the military, uncharted waters, going off like the Cassidys into a new area, starting new employment, getting into a new home, trusting God. God is there. His omnipresence and His omniscience is a great comfort for those that want to walk obediently. But you know, what about individuals that are walking disobediently? They don't want to know about the Lord's omnipresence. Those that are involved in wicked deeds in darkness are not comforted by the omniscience and the omnipresence of the Lord. But you think of Daniel in Babylon, taken off and replanted at age 17. You think of Joseph. You think of Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail. Why were they able to sing praises and give a concert that brought the house down? Why? Because they were convinced God is still with us. Nothing has changed. He's able to guide us. What are you facing today? Has that changed God's love for you, His purpose in your life? He has a special purpose in your life. It says here in verses 7 through 12 regarding His omnipresence, if I go up to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, in the realm of the dead, Thou art there. You see, Jesus holds the keys to hell and death. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, and I'm way out there in the Middle East, in some battleship, the Lord's there, protecting and guiding. And praise God for a few godly chaplains that are still out there that love kids, love soldiers, love their country, love their Lord, and they're out there doing soul winning and ministering to people and giving them the truth of God's Word. And I thank the Lord for faithful denominations that are still holding to the truth, that aren't selling out, where chaplains aren't out there drawing their liquor with the rest of them and living in sin and all types of licentious behavior, but they're following the Lord. It says in verse 10, Thy hand will lead me, Thy right hand shall hold me. That's why David was saying, lead me in the way of everlasting things. Let's close it with looking at verses 13 through 18. We see omniscience and His omnipresence, God's all-powerful omnipotence. Look at verse 13. Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now, if God took such care in your formation, do you think that He's following a hands-off policy now? Not in your life. He is just as intricately involved in plan and purpose in your life as He is in all other areas, even when you were forming. And it's always wonderful to have contact with people that reminds you that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So many times, on a day-to-day basis, I'll find that God has me just at the right place and at the right time to meet someone that needs the Lord, needs a word of encouragement, perhaps someone that I haven't seen in decades, and I'm just there at the right place and at the right time. Have a flat tire, able to witness to, or my vehicle breaks down, able to witness and share Christ with a tow truck operator. God is in charge of every single path that we take. And what a joy it is. I've recently shared with some of you in your experiences where you ran into friends that were desperately in need of your ministry, and you just happened to walk into a strange store and find out they're the owners and operators of this store. And I had a chance to meet them, and they fell into my arms crying because of trials and testings and unloaded their hearts. And this is the kind of thing that I see often, not only in a pastor's life, but in the lives of our family members at Central Florida Bible Church. And you call me and share these things. Pastor John, I had a wonderful experience this week. I want to share with you. And what a joy it is to hear about that. And it goes on to say in verse 14, I'll praise Thee. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know what? God's process of making you what you will be doesn't end at the womb, but He's going to glorify you more than the womb to the tomb. And it says here, marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My substance wasn't hid from thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. This is speaking about embryonic development and in metaphorical language. Thine eyes still saw my substance being unperfect. Now, does it mean that an embryo is unperfect and therefore able to be aborted? No, the word unperfect simply means that God is not finished with the final product. You look at a little embryo at just a matter of 4 weeks, the heart is already literally beginning to pump. You look at the little feet of a little baby, 3 months old, perfect little toes formed, but it's just a matter of full development, you see. So unperfect doesn't mean imperfect, but it means not fully developed to final maturity. But in thy book, all my members were written. That's speaking about the genetic code of the DNA. And God has a prescribed genetic code for each individual. And it says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God? Great is the sum of them. Now, David didn't understand about DNA, and he didn't understand about embryonic development like we do today. But you know, scientists who say they discover things, they almost have the pride like they're saying we invent it. But you know what? Scientists, they think they're so smart. All they're doing is uncovering what God knew was already there. And by the way, biblical creationists, we don't refute the findings of science. We refute the interpretation of the findings. That's where the issue is. Because secular scientists want to leave God out of the interpretation, out of the equation. And we refuse to do so. And God's word here in Psalm 139 emphasizes that. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. The Lord, by the way, is going to take care of the wicked. But you know, the word of God says, He is in charge. He will be the one. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The word hate in verse 21 has the idea of turning from. It does not have the idea of a malicious hatred that would seek to destroy in the sense of animosity. The Lord is the one that's going to handle them. We need to have a perfect hatred, verse 22. One that properly sees where vengeance lies. And sometimes we need to care enough to give them the gospel and love them to Christ, but turn from their wicked ways. And in light of all of that, are you willing tonight, as we go to prayer, am I willing tonight to pray David's prayer of submission? Lord, search me. Lord, you're not interested in my eloquence. You're not interested necessarily in just the fact of my covering my section of the column while I'm praying in a circle. Now, does that mean that these are... No, these are important. These are stewardships that are given to us. But God looks beyond the printed page. He doesn't want to hear a flowery sermon or a flowery prayer or just covering names and matters, but He looks at our hearts. He says, search me, Lord. Do exploratory surgery. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. Lead me. Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the example of the psalmist in, Lord, a biblical transparency that he had towards you. And Lord, that's a transparency that needs to be demonstrated in our lives. Lord, we'll never be transparent with one another. We'll never be transparent with our husbands and wives, our family members, when, Lord, we're not willing to be first and foremost open and transparent with you. And Father, help us to realize that you know us better than we know ourselves. You still were willing to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. As imperfect and unworthy as we are and were, you commended your love towards us, that Christ died for us. And we thank you, Lord, for that grace. And the grace in the stewardship of prayer that is ours tonight. So, Lord, thank you for this psalm of surrender, the example of David, as he besought your presence and blessing in his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.